Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. As we begin the program today, I want to begin by asking that you pray for the Lord to send revival into our midst, that the Lord will have mercy upon us, and that the Spirit of God would move upon hearts. We can go before the Lord and cry out unto Him that He will work. We need to hear from heaven. Nothing short of God's hand can change things and fix the world. Of course, we know that peace is not going to be brought completely in this world as long as sin is raging. Well, it's not sin as long as the devil is here. And the Lord has no problem working where there is sin, because where sin abounded, God's grace can much more abound. But the fact is that Satan is not bound, and the nature of men is not bound. It is in the life of the Christian, however, in that we have the Holy Spirit of God, who gives to us the strength we need to live a life that pleases the Lord our God. We can get that strength from the Lord, and the Lord will give to us what we need. So the Christian is kept by the power of God. Now, the Lord also, of course, keeps the wicked in check as to how far they are able to go. They can only go as far as the Lord will permit them to go. And yes, we are in a world where we are strangers and pilgrims and aliens. We have here no continuing city. We pray to the Lord that He will send revival. Now, when the Prince of Peace is ruling on the earth, then there will be absolute peace. But when you have peace that is brought on because one man has a greater weapon than the other, and when the threat of retaliation governs a man, then you don't have peace. As soon as that one recognizes that his opponent is weak, then he will try to overtake him. But it's another thing that's going to happen in the future when the Lord removes the element of wickedness and of pride and of covetousness. When men lust after that which others have, there will be the day is coming when the Lord will remove these things. And that's when the ox and the lion, the leopard and the calf, the bear and the sheep, all of these will lie down together. When the Lord is ruling, we pray that the Lord will send revival, that many people will be saved and delivered from the bondage of sin. And we pray that the Lord would raise up a voice to declare His word. I have heard so often, read so much in the scriptures of how that when the Spirit of God moved upon hearts, that people got saved and lives changed, and people wanted to do what was right. And I want to see this. I know that God has not changed or lost any of His power. He is still as holy today as He ever has been. And my prayer is that the Lord will work. And I ask that you join with me in prayer, in praying for the Lord to move. We have homes that are wrecked and ruined by sin. Ministries that are being destroyed because of a pursuit of sin and of human nature. We ask that the Lord will work, and that these who are rampant in their vileness and their wickedness will be put to flight. Our hearts is that the Spirit of God will move and bring these to a saving knowledge of Himself, and the Lord can do just that. We ask that you join with us in praying for this need. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that we can come before Thee and ask of Thee what we need. And we do ask, Lord, that Thou wouldest hear from heaven, and that Thou wouldest save souls, and that Thou wouldest send revival to us, for we are a needy people. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Well, let's continue today as we are considering this, that the Lord has given to us His Word. He has revealed to us His mind, and it is revealed in the Word of God. In days gone by, the men of old were spoken to by the Lord. They got their instructions from the Lord before the Word was written. How did Isaiah the prophet get the word from the Lord? How did Abraham get the instructions from the Lord to go to another place, to get out of the Ur of the Chaldees to a place to where the Lord would show him and where the land was going to be promised? Well, did it come in an audible voice? The scriptures do not tell us. It just tells us that the word of the Lord came to Abraham. I want to turn to that just to make sure that I'm saying it the right way or the way that the scriptures say it. In Genesis chapter 12, the first verse, now the word of the Lord, now the Lord said unto Abraham, Abram, get thee out of thy country. Now the Lord spoke to him. He does not tell us by what means he used, an audible voice, a vision, a dream, or handwriting on the wall. And all of these were things that the Lord used afterwards to show that he was working and instructing men. How did he speak? He has spoken in many cases, as for example, with Samuel. He spoke to Samuel, and Samuel heard him. Samuel misunderstood who it was. Samuel, with his ear, heard the Lord speak. When the Lord spoke on Mount Sinai, then those who were standing around the mount heard the voice of God. In Daniel's day, a handwriting on the wall, telling of judgment that was going to come. Daniel's day, also the Lord spoke in dreams and in visions, as he did in Joseph's day. The Lord used these means. And then he gave to these holy prophets, he spoke to their hearts, and they wrote down what God wanted us to know. So the Lord used all of those things, and now we have the Bible, and there is therefore now no longer any need for any dream or vision that men have. The Lord has preserved his word, and the scripture, the canon of the scripture, is closed. And you don't need to sit around and say, well, I had a dream last night. Shut up, please. I don't want to hear that. And you say, but preacher, you're so crude, so rough, so mean to say that. Well, we have the Bible. When you are obeying the Bible, then please talk to me. When you are being tempted to lead people away from God's truth, I'm against you for doing that. I'm against those who would say, go to some other source for revelation. God has given to us his word. He has preserved his word down through the ages, and we have what God the Lord wants us to know. Don't put your hope and confidence in your feelings. They change. See what God the Lord has said. God has spoken, and the Bible is what he has said, and he has told us what we need to know about him. And in this book, we learn where the entire universe has come from, how the stars were placed where they are, how all of the various heavenly bodies were situated in heaven. The Lord did all of this. He tells us this, how that he made the universe. Then, coming smaller, closer to man, we can look at the universe, look at the sky, and see how big God is, that he rules over the sky, the God of heaven. He is greater than the place over which he rules. He knows everything that takes place in his universe. There is no fear of you. There should be no fear for you and me that some meteorite somewhere way out there in the space is moving toward this earth, and it's much bigger than the earth, and it'll collide with the earth and destroy the earth. No, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that, because God knows about it if it's moving this way. And God is in charge. And the meteorite has its power to exist from God. It has its power to be hurled through space from God. We have our very existence from God. Remember who's in charge. Remember who's in control of all these things. And you ought to be encouraged by this. So we learn from the scriptures that the Lord has made the universe. And then this should let you know how big God is, give you some idea, because we can only see half of the sky at any one time. If you go out to the desert where there are no mountains to impede your vision, your view, and you can just turn or go out on the sea and you look where the water touches the sky all the way around and see, my, that if that were real estate above, that's a tremendous piece of real estate. God rules over that, and we're just seeing a portion of it. We're seeing just a small part of it, not even half of it. We are seeing out to where the horizon starts touching the sky, some 20 miles or so out, it seems, and then there's more. We can't see much more than that. We don't even see half of the sky at any one time. God is bigger than the sky that he's made, and this God is content, or he is pleased, rather, to communicate with you. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? God is so great. He's made the entire universe, and the book of Genesis gives to us the account of the Lord in making the universe. And then he's made man. Now, we are told in the book of Genesis how he did this, how that he fashioned man out of the dust of the ground, how that he spoke everything else into existence. But when it came to man, he said, let us make man. He did not use some other medium to make man. He didn't use his voice to make man. He fashioned man. The Lord has fashioned us and in his own image. And so that ought to tell you something, that the Lord made man like himself. In the image of man made God, made man, that's what God did. And so you're very precious and special in the sight of God, and he loves you. You're very precious to him. Now, somebody else may say, I don't like your image, but that's all right. That's all right. They didn't make you. Let them go to the one who made you and tell God they don't like the way that he made you. And who are they? In the same time, they have to breathe the same air that you breathe. They have to eat food just like you have to eat food. And if they die, the same kind of worms that crawl over our bodies will eat their bodies. So what does man have to boast about? Man ought to be humbled before the fact that God made man, that God fashioned man in God's own image, and God thought enough of you to make you like he made you. Now, an ungrateful person, a rebellious person, an ungrateful person and a rebellious person would complain about the way the Lord has made him. Give grace, give thanks to the Lord for what he has done. Rejoice in the fact that God made you and he has a plan and a place of service for you. Just rejoice in that great truth. The book of Genesis tells us these things. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful again for the opportunity to minister the Word of God. And I ask Thee, Lord, to bless this program. Speak to the hearts of each who's tuned in. We pray Thee to send revival unto us, Lord, that there may be a revival for studying the Word and seeking after God. This we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. And do join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. May the Lord bless you. I'm Willie Thompson.